Now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, and the speaker is Alex, and his go-to saying is, talk to your sponsor and put the plug in the jug.
Hi everybody, my name is Alex, and I'm definitely an alcoholic. It's good to be here right now. I am a little nervous. I've been wanting to speak here for a really long time. I talked to Bill like when I moved here, and he's like, yeah, we'll get you up there, don't worry. And I let it go, and I've been just kind of patiently like waiting. And it's funny, the timing of coming up here, for me. But it's good to be here. This is one of my favorite meetings here in Visalia, it's been, you know, crucial to me enjoying my experience here. I know when I'm not, you know, am I too loud? Okay, more no's than yes. So what was I saying? So when I'm not like in service, whether it's, you know, a guy on the street or H&I or coming here or with newcomers, I don't have that life force in me that was given to me when I got sober diminishes greatly. And so in order to kind of keep the battery filled up and overflowing and kind of just an abundance of, you know, spiritual stuff, I personally, need to be of service. What's cool though is I can actually enjoy being of service. I have been able to enjoy being of service. When I first got here, it was like pulling nails, scratching nails on a chalkboard or something. It was not fun, okay? It was, I had to go against like my selfishness and my hatred, and it was like, I hated people so much, why would I want to help anybody? Like, it was really difficult, but my sponsor really encouraged me to, you know, do the H&I and, you know, put my hand out to newcomers and do what we do here, you know? I'm really grateful I did, because I have a solid foundation, I believe, based on what my sponsors told me and just my experience. And it's founded in, you know, spirituality. And I didn't come here and try to seek out the money and the women and the whatever the things that we want when we get here. You know, there was a big temptation for me. Well, actually, that's not true. I was so sick and messed up that like I was just, it was life and death. Like I was holding on to this program like with everything I had, and there wasn't even room for thinking about like doing other things. But once I started getting, you know, more healthy and stuff, I started wanting those things that are out there that are fun and, that keep our mind occupied and keep us busy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when those things become more important than me, than carrying this message or my higher power, then I'm just off. You know, I don't feel right. I'm not my usual self, and sometimes I'll end up hurting people, or I'll just be just feel uncomfortable. And it's really important for me to stay connected. I don't know if Bill told me that tonight is a service month, like September service month. Has anybody heard of that? No? Well, I'm supposed to be like the first speaker talking about service work, so I'll try to stay on that topic. This month everybody's supposed to be talking about service. That's cool, because service is, it's important. I like doing the service work in here, particularly H&I work, and I encourage like anybody. What's cool is it's here, and there's not many people doing it, and I wish, everybody would get involved just because of the benefits I've gotten. You know, I know the power of going into those jails, and I mean, there's nothing like that. There's no experience like that in AA meetings, in AA, you know, anything within AA. H&I for me is like, it's very unique. I mean, going into a jail cell, especially if you've never been to jail, and seeing these guys, some of them are there for their life. I mean, like, I've talked to guys who are not getting out of there, and to like stand there one-on-one and just like see how I can and help these guys, it's a powerful experience, you know. And sometimes it makes me really, really grateful for like the freedom I have, you know, just the basic thing that most of us take for granted. I've been able to do some cool things, you know, in sobriety, like out there. The only reason I've been able to enjoy doing those things is because of the inner work that I've done, and that I can take that, the inner stuff, anywhere. I can take it into, you know, a job or a relationship. I've been able to do a little bit of traveling in my sobriety. I've been blessed to be able to do some of that, and I love that. I love the unknown. I love, like, kind of, you know, going to a new place, not even having like a plan, and just letting my higher power just take care of me. It's like, and it's the craziest experience. Like, I went to Alaska for a month, and I just had I stayed in a hostel the whole time. I booked my first night in a hostel, or I think two nights or something, and that was it. And I was doing the same thing I was doing here, but I was doing really cool things in Alaska. Like, you know, I was fishing with bears, you know, right around me, you know, like brown bears, black bears. I saw like little cubs and stuff, and like that was just amazing. And the people I met there were just amazing people. And that was not my that wasn't my idea. That wasn't something that I came up with. Like, I want to go to Alaska. I wanted to go to Mexico. I had an opportunity to do that. I love fishing, and you know, when I think of fishing, I think of, you know, Mexico sounds like a, you know, it's a good place to go. There's, you think of tropical, like big fish and you know, nice weather and stuff. But my sponsor and a friend independently told me, they suggested, you know, maybe I think you might like Alaska, and they had not talked to each other. So that to me was like, okay, maybe there's something to this. So I just, you know, went on faith, I guess, and went. And those type of experiences, whatever it is, whether it's going down the street to, you know, get some ice cream, or going on a, you know, trip, or getting a job, those experiences where I have guidance from my sponsor and supporting friends who are on, you know, who are working a good program, those experiences are always better than like my own willfulness, my own trips, my own stuff. There's just something kind of missing inside when I'm running my own life in sobriety. And not to say that I don't have fun, but it's not the same. There's something magical about taking direction from my sponsor. And I don't know why that is per se, but my experience has been time and time again that when I'm really struggling, or when I just want some guidance or whatever, and I call my sponsor and I get, you know, I give him all the information. I don't play any games. I don't try to manipulate or whatever. I just, like, you know, lay out everything on the table, and I'm willing to do what my higher power wants me to do. I can hear my higher power speaking to me through my sponsor, and I've been able to distinguish that voice coming through my sponsor. And when I take those suggestions, you know, everything works out. Like, it may not be the way that I want it to work out, but there's a shift, there's a change for the better. I feel better, or I'm, you know. it always gets me back on track, basically. And it allows me to like be more inner directed, rather than like, you know, just outer directed by my wants or by other people or whatever. So that's a powerful thing. I kind of wish that wasn't the case, because, you know, when I came in here, I hated people. I don't trust people. I hate authority, and my sponsor was kind of is today an authority figure. I mean, I'm good friends with him, but so my hatred of authority has affected, went right towards him when I got sober. I hated my dad when I got here. I didn't know I had a huge amount of rage towards him until I started working the steps, but all that anger just went right to my sponsor, and I put that guy through so much crap. I don't know if anybody relates, but I know that a lot of the times what I put out there comes back to me. So one day I'm gonna get this little punk kid who's just gonna torment me, and just because I know what I did to my sponsor, you know. And it makes my job to love this kid and do the best I can to help him out, you know. So I can't, I have to do my best to not react and not, you know, and be patient and be a good example of this program, be an example that I do have a solution. I am I'm connected to some power, you know, that, and I basically tested my sponsor to see if he was really connected with God or your higher or higher power, because then I knew I could trust him or not, you know. So I had to, you know, play my little games and stuff, just to kind of, I don't know, just because I came in here so sick. And it's been a slow road, but I'm a completely different person than I used to be. When I got sober, you wouldn't even recognize me. I don't know. So my relationships with my family have improved tremendously. Me and my mom get along really well today. My brother and I get along well today. And I hated her tremendously when I got here. And I didn't know that I hated her so much until I started seeing what was really inside me through step work, through, you know, prayer and meditation, through sponsorship, you know, all the stuff we do. I've done multiple inventories, so if you think you've done an inventory and you're finished and the steps, the steps are a living thing that I'm doing every day. It's not like there's a step part of my life and then there's my life. It's all one for me. I see people kind of do that. They have this box of their sobriety life, and then they have their life. And I mean, if that works for them, that's great. That hasn't been my experience. I wish I could give the newcomer, you know, the experiences I've had in sobriety, just to see it, just to know that there's an amazing life there for them, and there's no way for them to know unless they're truly, truly ready for this program. And the unfortunate thing is I can't do anything for somebody who's not ready for this program. And I can usually, you know, tell when somebody's just not ready. And it's my job to just, you know, show love to them and be there for them when they're, you know, when they're ready, or you know, or for whoever, you know. But I mean, there is an amazing life here, and it's there is magic here, kind of. Maybe that's not the right word, but there's something special about this program. The way I live my life is totally different than it used to, and I'm sure you guys, you know, all understand. It's basically I I do my best to live my life from my heart, I guess, more so than my head. I used to like run, you know, my life was guided by my head and what my head told me all the time. And yeah, it's a completely different way of living. And a lot of people, you know, it's kind of scary and it's unknown. And to work these steps, because really I don't know what's going to happen, or I don't really know what it's about until I actually start doing the steps. And I saw them on the I saw the steps on the wall, and I didn't really know that they would work for me. I was completely hopeless, because I had been in the program for about a year and a half before I was like really ready for this thing. And I had tried the program. I had like gotten a sponsor and like worked the steps, but I wasn't really ready. So I kind of was like, maybe this isn't going to work for me. And I was completely just done, like, you know, and that's what I needed personally. I know other people who come here and they don't want to stop drinking and they get this thing, so there's no like one right way to do this. I used to think that like I had the only answer and the best answer, and you know, it's my job to help every single one of you, but that's a lie, and it caused me to hurt other people. I mean, today, like, yeah, I struggled with that. I think it was linked with like spiritual pride, was what my sponsor told me, like pride in my spirituality, and my spirituality is better than yours, or you know, and for me that's a dangerous place to be personally, because usually when I'm in that, someone or something will kind of put me in my place, and it's not always the most pleasant experience. I was assaulted while I was here in Visalia, and I'm laughing, but I wasn't hurt, but I was like, you know, it wasn't a pleasant experience. And I was struggling with my ego, which is out of control. And the only reason I can say that is because I talked to my sponsor, and I was able to look at like what led to that event and what was going on inside of me. And so I have to be kind of careful about that personally. And the thing is, I can't always see it though. A lot of the times I'm struggling with things that I'm not aware of, and that's kind of even more scary, because I don't really know what's going on with me all the time. And that's why I need my sponsor. And usually something will happen out there that'll cause me to talk to my sponsor, and you know, get back on track. But how much time do I have, by the way? 15 more minutes? Okay. Let me see. I am going... Sorry if I'm like jumping all over the place, but I am going to school to get my real estate license starting yesterday, which is amazing. Like, I never thought I would be doing something like that. I mean, I used to like kind of hate people in that, you know, those type of positions, and now I'm like becoming one of those people. This is one of those things that hasn't been like my idea. I've had like friends and kind of my support group tell me. They even mentioned it a few years ago, like, what, you know, they can see more clearly in me what I can see, you know, for my life, and like they could see kind of a direction that might be good for me a long time ago. And so now it's like happening. It's awesome. Like, I'm really excited about you know, this new kind of path. And you know, I've done fishing, I've done ceramics, I've done what have I done? I've been able to explore all those passions and those interests I've had since I was like a little kid. I believe everybody has like their kind of, you know, everybody has their own interests that are unique to everybody. And I've been, you know, blessed to be able to explore all those in sobriety. And through a job or through a course or through, so pretty much like, you know, I've done all those things, and so you know, I don't know why I'm going exactly in this path of real estate, but I'm really, you know, looking forward to it. I'm really excited about it. It's just like the next thing, and yeah, I mean, I to be in a position where I am, or any of us to be where we're at compared to where, you know, where we were, I mean, it's completely insane. I mean, like, just the, like, destruction we were living in, you know, like, the darkness, and, like, there was nothing good in my life. Not one good thing in my entire life when I was at the end. Everything was dark. You know, there was no hope at all. I mean, there was, like, depression, suicidal thoughts, obsessions, you know, and to be where I'm at now is, it's a miracle. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't have done it on my own. And it's not even the stuff that's outside, it's the inside stuff that, like, you know, the healing that I've experienced, you know, like, I feel like I'm over a lot of that rage and resentment, like, and the thing about that resentment for me is it causes me to hurt myself, and so the less I have those resentments inside, the less I want to hurt myself. So to be over a big chunk of that hatred for me is a big security, you know. I feel like I'm pretty deep in this thing that, like, I don't know, like, I can't even, you know, I mean, stuff happens, but what my sponsor told me about those, the guys who go out when they're, you know, 25 years sober, 30 years sober, is they either never dealt with their resentments or they stopped dealing with their resentments, and the resentments cause them to go out to drink. And I believe that our book talks about resentments being the number one destroyer of alcoholics, or the, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but basically resentments are, you know, they're bad. They're not, they're like the one thing that I do my best to be diligent about not letting resentments accumulate. And that means being aware in the moment, you know, when I have a, you know, negative thought, to, you know, to arrest that thought through prayer or through, you know, meditation or through talking with my sponsor or whatever. Usually it starts with prayer, but and to not let that, you know, snowball, you know, because if I there's like, you know, you know, maybe 100 or maybe 200 like temptations every day where there's a thought of like that I can run with, you know. And for me it's a successful day if I don't grasp onto any of those thoughts and I don't let them snowball. If I can just kind of like stay on the course and, you know, stay connected, and usually, you know, then my days are pretty darn good, you know. And so yeah. What else? I hope I'm not boring anybody here. let's see. Questions, yes.
Do you work with any sponsors?
Currently, I'm working with one guy. But they have come and gone in my sobriety, which is pretty typical. And there's guys who I really thought would make it, and they don't make it, and there's guys who I didn't think would make it, and they're still here, so I really don't know. Yeah. But that's a nice part of this program, you know, one of those ways to be a service. And it's more intimate than going to H&I and speaking, you know, sharing your experience, because, you know, you get to know this person, and they learn to rely on you. You know, if I'm doing my job right, you know, and, you know, trust that, you know, the guidance I give them will help them, in, you know, in some way. Yeah. Okay. any other questions?
Are you still leaving?
Am I still leaving?
Yeah.
You mean moving?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm moving town, out of town. I mentioned it before at another meeting, but thank you for bringing that up. I'm doing a real estate school in Oxnard. It's been an awesome experience being here. I mean, I had my struggles here. I've been burglarized twice. I've been assaulted. There's been a fire on the property I'm living on. There's been no air conditioning this whole summer. What else? There's one more thing. I forgot what it was. Yeah, the water. No water. Yeah, I've been showering with like one of those pots, just like, you know, bird bathing it. So for most people, that would pretty much suck ass, you know. It hasn't been the most pleasant thing, but it's not affecting me today like it would, you know, at all like it would, you know, before. So that's pretty cool. I am moving. My well went dry. Just a lot of things kind of culminated, and my sponsor was like, maybe it's time to move. And I'm doing what he suggested, and it seems like the next step or next stage of my life will be pretty good. We'll see, you know. But I'll miss y'all guys, and I've met some awesome people here, and it's been a good experience overall, despite those things I mentioned. I've kept this program as central to my life, you know, and I think that's helped me get through the stuff that's happened. So, yeah. I'll try to visit. It's like 3 hours away, so it'll have to be like for, I don't know, an occasion or something. I definitely will come back. I don't know when or how often or whatever, but I'm coming back on Friday, so I wouldn't be lying. Halibut and salmon and Arctic char, I think. No, yes, yeah. With the halibut was on a boat, so, but the salmon was, yeah. There was actually no bears when I caught the salmon, but there were bears when I was fishing for salmon. I just didn't catch any. Any other questions? 6 and 7, okay. That's the character defects, and then asking to remove them. Character defects. I've done inventory work where I've been able to identify, you know, my character defects. You know, write them down within the inventory process, at the end we would like say a prayer to remove those, you know, character defects. So I guess it was kind of linked in with some of my 4 steps. And also part of my 4-step was writing a list of all the people that, well, actually that's a different step. I hope that answers your question. There wasn't an official, write, you know, a page on it or whatever, but I'm still sober and I'm pretty happy, so I must be doing something right. So. Any other questions? Probably, you know, talk some more about step 9. That's the amends. For me, there wasn't like a part of the some paperwork that I did with my sponsor was writing down a list of all the people that I owe amends to, which is their first names. And that's after doing my inventory work, so I was able to kind of see my part and see, you know, what I did to other people, so I could see whether or not I owe amends. Because that for me, that has to be done very carefully, and it has been done carefully. It's not like a math equation. For me, my relationship with my higher power is like always changing. It's free flowing. It's, you know, I can't figure God out. So for me, there hasn't been like this formulaic sobriety. And for me, when I've been in that mindset of like, if I do this and I do this, then this happens, then I'll be okay. And I just go crazy and I'm imprisoned in my mind. And so I've been able to have a relationship with my higher power that's, I don't know what's going to happen next. And to get back to the amends, that has to be done, like I said, for me, carefully. And it hasn't been like, okay, I write the list and then I go make amends to everybody right now because that's what I'm supposed to do. It's happened over time, like little by little. And a lot of it has been praying specifically for some of those people that I cannot, you know, make amends to for whatever reason. Either I would hurt them if I did, or, you know, some extensive praying, which has not always been that fun. But other amends have just kind of like organically just major, like, girlfriend, love, you know, high school that I just hurt tremendously, and was just a really sick relationship. She showed up at a meeting one day, and, like, she was there, and I was caught off guard, and there was my opportunity right there. I knew if I didn't say something, then, you know, who knows. And I hadn't actually, I've only seen her, like, one or two times after that, so, and I was working a good program at the time, and, like, I just, you know, told her just, like, you know, what, you know, where I was at and, like, what I did to her, and that, or not what I did to her, but, like, just explain, like, you know, it was, you know, what I did was just really hurtful, and I, you know, if there's any way I can, like, you know, what, I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was a, you know, great amends that, that just kind of happened spontaneously, you know, so, I hope that answers your question. How do I guard against? Well, I guess, I mentioned, like, for me, prayer. Like, I was thinking about that when I was out there. I was starting to, there was a perfect opportunity to get annoyed at somebody. And I could see it just, I could see the thought starting to form, and immediately I started praying for that person. Just because I know it's not going to do any good at all for, I mean, it's just going to destroy me, basically. So, yeah, just usually praying for that person, whoever comes to mind that is, and there's, you know, 100 different ways to pray, you know, just take care of that person or, you know, whatever, has helped me a lot. In the moment, though, like, you know, stopping it from starting. I'm sorry. How have they been fulfilled? The question is, how have the promises been fulfilled? Well, they have. I don't really know exactly. There wasn't like one day, like, I realized all of them had like magically happen, but a little, like, over time, I could see, like, wow, especially the intuitively knowing how to handle situations that use a baffle us, that has been amazingly beneficial for me. And I don't know where it comes from, because it's like I'm in a new situation and I just automatically, like, know what to do. And that just kind of boggles my mind. And that comes up, you know, consistently. The others, fear of economic insecurity, is that another one? Yeah. That one has been, I definitely have struggled with that, you know, fear of financial insecurity. And I recently did a money inventory, which has helped a lot, just on money. And you know, my fears and all my issues with money, my obsession, money was my God for a little bit. And also giving money away for me has been one perfect way is at a meeting for me, kind of. It doesn't necessarily help anything in my life financially, but it helps me with the issues I have with money a lot of the times. When I'm able to just give money away, it doesn't become so important to me. And to a good cause or whatever, you know, AA is one good, you know, perfect place to do that, but there's a lot of other ways too. So yeah. Anything else? My last drink was January 2006. So I was 21 when I got sober. I had like a few legal drinks, and then that was it. 2006. Well, this has been my favorite meeting here in Visalia. That and Thursday meeting, the candlelight meeting. One of the reasons I like this meeting is because I've had a commitment here, and it's made me feel more a part of the group. And it's one of the bigger meetings. I just feel safe here for some reason. I don't know why. I feel safe at other meetings too, but I like this one a lot. And yeah, it's just been part of my regular schedule and helped me, you know, keep that battery charged. Is that it? Yeah, sure. That's it.